Basic Bananas.
Hey there, guys. Welcome back to the Basic Bananas Small Business Marketing Show. My name is Christo, and today I have a super duper guest who I met earlier on in the year at an internet marketing event here in Sydney, Australia. And so on the line from Florida, I have Justin Brook. You there, Justin?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me on here, buddy.
Oh, man. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really wanted to get Justin on the podcast to share with you guys, our listeners, because he is the man when it comes to Facebook advertising and kind of generating traffic and leads online. You know, there's a lot of people out there that kind of have a go at these things, and then there's some people that are really the ones that are getting it done and, you know, and kind of achieving amazing results. So thanks so much for coming today, and, you know, I'm hoping today we're going to hear a bit about Justin's story and we'll get some tips and some really tangible stuff, some info that you, our listeners, can apply to your businesses, you know, from the expert, from Justin. So yeah, thanks so much, mate. I'm really happy to have you here.
Oh man, it's my pleasure. And you know, because of the time zone differences, I'm you know, all the family's home and the dog's out. So if there's any background noise, I'm really sorry. But for me, it's 9 p.m. So like the family's all here.
Too easy. We'll forgive you if there's any background noise.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Okay.
All good. So tell us, let's, so our listeners know who we got. You know, tell us a bit about you. I'm sure a lot of people know of you, especially in the internet marketing space. But yeah, just for the guys who might not know much about you, tell us a bit about you and your story and kind of, I guess, what got you into working for yourself and working in online marketing.
Okay, yeah, so I got started in 2005, and the fast version, the part that most people usually like to hear is, you know, from 2005 to 2007, it was gruesome. I mean, I wasn't making really any money. I think on my best month, I made like $300, and I was able to pay the car bill. But I wasn't really making any money. 2007, I landed an internship with a guy named Russell Brunson, who ran a multi-million-dollar internet business out in Idaho, flew out there for an unpaid internship, worked for him for free. But my job as an intern was to – he had this quarter-million-dollar marketing library, and it was filled with, I mean, the best stuff, the best DVDs, books, courses, seminar recordings. I got to learn from – Jay Abrahams and Joe Polish and Chet Holmes and Dan Kennedy, Stephen Pierce. I mean, like the greatest of the greats in the marketing world. I got to study all their stuff. And the reason why was he was creating an affiliate review website. So I had to go through these courses and then write a product review on each one of these so that he could have an affiliate reviews site. In that time, I got the education of a lifetime. For free, well, not really for free. I had to fly out there. I had to pay my way. I had to pay for my wife back at home, who was with, you know, my mom at the time. And so it was rough, but I did. I got the education of a lifetime, went back home. It was unpaid, so I really wasn't making any money yet. But I borrowed $60 because I literally didn't even have that. I had to take that from half of the electric bill. And I paid half the electric bill, took $60, put it on AdWords, applied what I learned in my internship, and I turned that $60 into $150, and then $150 to $300. And I did finally pay back my electric bill. Basically, I doubled my money every month for 11 months, ended up having a six-figure business, and it was paid traffic. It was traffic that was the difference. Like before I started traffic, I was broke eating ramen noodles. After I mastered traffic, I was doing well and eating Red Lobster. So life was, you know, that was the difference. And so
it's a good contrast.
Yeah, for me, I was like, you know, this is the thing that makes the money. So I've just been a traffic geek ever since, man, and just always learning, studying, applying, testing. I mean, I've got podcasts on in the car magazines in the bathroom. Yeah, I mean, I'm never like not absorbing more about this stuff.
Nice. That's a good insight too for all of our listeners. The fact that you're kind of at the, you know, at the top of the game and you're still always learning. That's a really good insight.
How the internet changes every week. You know, how could you not always be learning?
I agree. I know it all too well myself. So what were you doing? What were you selling when you were doubling? Like what products did you start out with kind of selling online? Was it educational stuff? Or?
Yeah, it was an info product. It's not something I created. I was trying to be a web designer before that. I couldn't get anybody to hire me for web design. Truthfully, I really didn't. I didn't know how to create a good web page back then. I thought they were great. We like to look at them now and laugh at them, but so I couldn't really get anybody to be a web designer, but I was learning this software called Joomla. Everybody's really familiar with WordPress these days. WordPress is a content management system. Joomla is another content management system. And it was really hard to learn how to use Joomla, but when you did, it was very powerful. It could do things that WordPress can't do. And you could build membership sites, you could build e-commerce stores, you can do so much with it. And so I realized that people really wanted to learn that. And I saw that the only way to learn it was you had to read this documentation that was written by the programmers. Nobody should ever allow a programmer to write an instruction manual in the worst jargon possible. So it was really hard to learn this stuff. You had to read really dry material. And I saw somebody who had created a course, a video course on this. He had 19 videos about how to set up Joomla websites. I asked him if I could buy rights to the product. I thought he was going to tell me like $5,000 and I was going to have to take out a loan from my parents or something. He said, oh yeah, $97. I was like, done. You got a deal.
Nice.
So I bought rights to that, polished up the website a little bit, wrote a little bit better copy based on my, you know, what I had learned. And that's what I was selling. I was selling that, you know, that video course about how to learn how to use this specific software. One ad on one website, $2 a day. So pathetic, but that's where it started.
Oh, as long as it's producing a positive return, then nothing's pathetic, right?
Yeah.
I like it. I love the your insight into that, you know, no programmer should ever write like a, you know, a how-to manual. It's just so spot on. Ideal.
Oh.
Send you to sleep. Nice. And so now, give us a little insight into what you're up to now. Like, what's the big picture of the stuff that you're doing now? What's your day-to-day kind of stuff that you're up to?
So I did the info product thing for a while, various info products. At one point, we were teaching people how to buy and sell websites for profit.
Yep.
And during that, you know, the reason I was able to sell my websites for more money and faster than other people, the reason why people were, you know, coming to me to learn how to do it, was I was able to get traffic to my websites very fast and a lot of traffic. And I was, because I was able to do that, I was able to sell my websites for more. And so everybody wanted to learn, you know, this from me. And really over time it became that everybody wanted to learn traffic. Yeah. And at one point in my business, you know, I wasn't doing too good. Everybody always says, well, if you knew how to do traffic, how could your business possibly be not doing good? But there's hiring and there's finances and there's all kinds of things that go along with business that are not my strong suits. And so I got a job with a guy named Rich Sheffrin. He hired me to do traffic for him. And when I was doing traffic for him, he had, you know, lots of resources and he had a big budget. And I was really able to, like, I got my knowledge off of that internship, but it was in this job, this position as a media buyer for Rich Sheffrin, that I really mastered my craft, because I could apply everything and I could test everything and I didn't have to worry about the stresses of a business. So that was when I was really able to master my craft and start driving a lot of traffic. And because he's got a lot of notoriety, I mean, the guy's a freaking genius. Yeah. And super popular. when they saw that I was working for him, all of a sudden everybody wanted to hire me. And I started saying yes to a couple and ended up having an agency. I left working for Rich Sheffrin on good grounds. And I just, you know, I started getting better and better clients as people saw the results I was getting for them. You know, the word got out, and you know, I'm very blessed to have like all of my dream clients right now. It's been amazing. You know, people, I remember studying their ads and being like, man, I wish one day I could work for them. And I landed it, you know, so that's what I do now. I drive traffic for other people, and I teach, I've got a coaching program and a blog where I teach people how to do this stuff.
Awesome. So good. It's such a good story and a real proper, like, I love hearing the good success story. And, thank you for your honesty too around the, you know, the starting from the humble beginnings, you know, of having no money and doing internships, you know, to get educated in the first place, you know, while you had nothing. you know,
that's, yeah, I mean, I worked for free for Rich Sheffrin first also. You know, I did a campaign. I was an affiliate for his product, and I did better than some of his other affiliates. And when I did, he was like, how did you do that? You know, because he hadn't really heard of me, you know.
Yeah.
And so when I beat some of his bigger affiliates, you know, he got curious and we started talking, and he hired me for a small project and then a medium project. And then I was like, you know, you could just like hire me full time.
Yeah.
And, you know, so yeah, you know, you gotta, sometimes you gotta just get out there and work for free for a little bit to get what you want. You gotta give the value first.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. So is what's your favorite? I know you're really well known for the whole Facebook advertising. So I'd love to dig into Facebook a little bit and get some insights and get your take on Facebook advertising and some tips and tricks. Is that your number one? Is that your favorite at the moment?
Is it? Not really. I've kind of become trapped as the Facebook guy because that's what everybody wants right now. It's the popular traffic, and it's not like it's traffic I don't like. It's a great network. It's probably the easiest network to turn into profit. I know there's tons of people who would think I'm crazy for saying that, but you know, they should try some of the other stuff that I've done. But I would say my favorite is email advertising. You buy ads in really large email newsletters, you know, 500,000 subscribers, 200,000 subscribers. I mean, you can get 2,000 new leads in 2 days. I've done it.
Wow.
You know, and tens of thousands of clicks. It's just massive, massive traffic. And it's such a cool game to play. And it's not cold traffic either, because there are already leads on somebody's list and you're being endorsed by that person. So,
yeah.
But Facebook is the thing that everybody's hot on right now. And so, yeah, I talk a lot about that right now.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I totally agree too. And I like that you've mentioned the email newsletter thing, because I think it is. We actually use that a little bit in our own business ourselves with different kind of business newsletters that do broadcasts and things, and we'll, you know, pay for an ad in there to fill events and so on. I totally agree. And what other ones do you use, just as a quick like overview, and then we'll dig into Facebook a little bit more. Like, are you hot on Google ads? Are you hot on the whole remarketing thing? Are you hot on, like, what else comes to mind for you?
I'm a total geek about traffic. So like, I do SEO, I do social, I've got accounts in 14 different paid networks. I do all kinds of stuff, but I would say if I had like one recipe, like one, you know, my favorite combo, I really like to use email ads with Facebook ads and retargeting, because email ads is like the heavy hitter. You can get big waves of traffic, but it is in waves. So you have the ups and downs, you know. So you buy an email ad and you have this rush of clicks, but then it dies off because, you know, the email doesn't keep going out. It dies off quickly after about 2 days. So you have to keep doing them. So, but it's good big waves. And then I use Facebook to have a nice even keel. It's something that I can make it go up, I can make it go down whenever I want just by changing the budget, changing my ads. And so it's a nice even keel. And then you add retargeting on top of that to bring it all back. And you know, it's kind of like, I feel like it's the perfect traffic triangle to use those, because you get the big waves, the even keel, and then you recycle it all with retargeting. It's just, I love it.
Very cool. All right, that sounds excellent. So let's dig into that as a bit of a triangle there. So what some tips or where do people should start when considering Facebook advertising, or if they're just confused? Because I know a lot of people kind of have a dabble, you know, and it's just not their thing. Like, you know, like let's say the local accountant's good at accounting, but they're not an internet marketer. What do they do? Like, where should they start? I know you mentioned just prior to the recording this call as well, we had a chat and you mentioned some ad templates that you go through. So maybe you could share some info on, you know, best ways to get Facebook ads set up.
Well, before I talk about the cool templates that everybody loves, I got to talk about the boring but critical part, which is to do the research. You've got to have a customer avatar. You've got to do some competitive research to find out what type of ads your competitors are using, what type of landing pages they're using. You've got to do that research step. If you don't do that research step, it's so hard for you to create a good ad. And so that's the part that everybody ignores. Then they go do it, and then, you know, things don't go good, and then they go back to doing the research. I wish I could just get people to do the research the first time, because it makes everything better. Would you agree?
I totally agree. Yeah, 100%. Before we do any type of marketing, you got to know – well, you got to know who you're marketing to, and you got to it's like the traffic is always one – piece of the pot, isn't it? The traffic drives people to somewhere, but if you haven't built out the whole system from once they arrive, well, then you're kind of wasting either, you know, your time or your energy or your money on getting that traffic in the first place. So I totally agree. So
the one thing I would tell people is you can create multiple avatars and you can create multiple campaigns to target each one of those avatars, but start with one first. Start with one really specific person, like the lowest hanging fruit. This is the ultimate buyer. You know, for some markets, it's a 45-year-old male who's interest, who, you know, who's, you know, follows Donald Trump and reads the Wall Street Journal. You know, that is a guy who's going to work great with a wealth-related offer, or real estate, or stock market-related offer. You know, be very, very specific about who you're going to advertise to, and then if you want to advertise to the whole world, you can just do multiple campaigns and target one avatar at a time, and you will eventually be targeting all the people that you want to, but be very laser focused. I read a story recently that the sun puts out billions of kilowatts of energy every day, but we can stand outside and all that happens to us is a little bit of a sunburn. But if you take just a couple of watts of energy and you focus it down into a laser beam, it can cut a diamond. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was a really great story because it really illustrated how powerful being focused is. And I see the same thing in traffic. If you really focus your campaign down to a very specific person, you will have so much better results. And I'm hammering this home, but it's really important. And I'll stop now.
I agree, though. I agree. It's something we look at. This is in terms of any marketing. People should really, obviously, the clearer their understanding is that you have of who. I'm really happy you're driving this home, because it's like who you're marketing to. The more information you have about them, well, the easier it's going to make your marketing as well. And obviously, then in the sense where you're looking at it, well, then the ad is really targeted exactly to them. But across the board, any marketing you create, if you know exactly who you're writing it for, like give your avatar, give your, I call it imaginary friend as well. Give your create an imaginary friend, which is your ideal client. Give them a name, like it might be Bob, and you're Bob. You know, you have the demographic, all the information about them. But then also think about, you know, the conversation that's going on inside their heads. What are their biggest wants and their desires and their problems that they want you to solve? So really understanding that imaginary friend, that avatar, on such a deep level, because it's going to make things a hell of a lot easier. So I totally agree.
There's no trick or tool or anything I could recommend that will move the needle more than just being extremely focused on who your target avatar is. And
very good.
Anyways, I'll move on awesome. From that. Yeah.
So we're focused. We got who it is, and yeah. Research what that person's needs are, what their desires are, what they're looking for. What's the next step?
All right. So the next step is creating the ad, and this is where people have a hard time. They don't know, you know, what image should I use, what ad copy should I use, and so we've developed a couple of systems so that we can get the same results, or at least have a system to getting towards the same result with our clients. And that system is, you know, one of the ad templates or frameworks that we use is an if-then statement. It's very popular in copywriting for sales letters, in lots of different forms of writing. The if-then statement is powerful. And the way that it works is you would say, it goes like this. If you have this problem, then check this out. Or then this is an eye opener. Or then this is a game changer. Or then you'll love this. So if the problem was, losing money in the stock market, and we actually have an ad like this out there where we say, if you're worried about the volatility of the stock market right now, then this is this will be an eye opener for you.
Nice.
Or if you feel like you can't win at the stock market because you have a small budget, then this will be an eye opener for you. And so it builds curiosity, but it calls out to the problem as well. You need both things. You need to be relevant and call out to the problem that they have. And that kind of, it's like standing up and pointing at someone and saying, hey, I'm talking to you. You know, if you have this problem, I'm talking to you. And then you're building the curiosity up by saying, then you'll love this, or I really like, then this will be an eye opener. That, you know, it just, people are so intrigued by that. And that little statement helps increase our clicks. So that's one of the formats we use. And then the image should be, you know, like if I was talking about the stock market, I would find an image. I use photodune.net. It's a little cheaper than than istockphoto.com. And so I use photodune.net, and I'll find images of, you know, a computer screen with bar charts on it, or a computer screen with stock market trading symbols on it. Things that are relevant, you know, things that they would instantly, what you want in your image is you want it to have stopping power. And what that means is you need to have bold colors, high contrast. Sometimes you can just take an image and revert it to black and white. You can use free tools out there. It's a real simple job for any designer to do. Revert it to black and white. That gives it a lot of contrast and makes it different from all the other pictures on Facebook. And that's stopping power, having a lot of contrast, having bold colors. And then beyond stopping power, you need it to be relevant to the ad. You need it to tell a story. So we use, you know, for that one where if you're concerned about having winning in the stock market with a small budget, we found a picture of a computer screen where it shows like the stock market up and down thing. I think they call it candlesticks. And then in front of the computer is a stack of change. And so that imagery really matches the copy of stock market, small budget. It feels like a story. And that's what you need to do. It's hard, but it comes with a little practice. You need your picture and your ad copy to kind of complete a story. That makes sense?
Yeah, totally. Very good. So the picture and the copy together, working together, creating the story. I love that. And it was photodune.net, was it? I haven't heard of that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, good. Dune, like D-U-N-E, sand dune.
Oh, nice. Cool. And that's really good. So, and the if-then statement, this is perfect. It like gives people a straight-up template to use.
Yeah, I've got one more also.
Awesome. Let's go for it.
Okay, so this one might be a little bit easier. I call it a case study template just because I used it with a case study. It works really well with anybody who has a case study, especially if you're in B2B. This works really, really well. It works for other things, but it works better in B2B. So here's how it goes. Hi, I'm Justin Brook. You may have seen me speaking on stage at Traffic and Conversion Summit. I created a case study where I show how I got how I turned $1 into three. I forget the actual ad copy, but basically it's, hi, this is my name. This is something credible I've done. And here's what I have for you. That's the template.
Yeah.
And so it's like, that's how you would, you might start a conversation in real life. You know, people, they're using these ads that nobody likes advertisement. Nobody likes a sales pitch. Only like geeks like me who love marketing watch commercials and infomercials and, but the general public hates marketing. They think marketing is like the evil of the world. Marketing is the problem with everything. And so you don't want your ads to feel like an ad. You want them to feel like a story or like a conversation. And this one works like gangbusters for me. I've used it over and over again, multiple markets. Stock market, B2B, health pills. I've sold sinus relief pills online with this format. So it's, hi, my name is Justin Brook. You may have seen me speaking on stage. So just anything,
credible.
Yeah. You may have seen me on this website, or you may have seen my articles here or whatever. And then here's what I've got for you. Now, the picture would be a nice picture of you smiling. And over on the right would be the title of your case study or your report or your free video or whatever. You can't have too much text on your Facebook images. You can only have 20% text. If you go to Google and you search Facebook 20% text tool, there's a tool that will show you how to make sure you only have 20% text. But I use a picture of me sitting on a park bench. I happen to be looking over to the left, which is convenient because it looks like I'm looking at the headline that's on the picture.
Nice.
And that works like gangbusters, that little format there.
Awesome. That's really cool. That's a great little copy-paste template that people can use. This is really good. So I can imagine you could adapt that, couldn't you, to be pretty much anything. Like, hi, I'm Christo. I have produced something credible. It could be anything credible, isn't it? Or like as featured on Channel 9, here's what I've created or interviewed about or, known for this and here's what I've done. That's great. That's awesome little template.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very cool. Now, so what's next? So let's say we've created the ad. What do we do? So are you generally doing like newsfeed, or you're doing the side ads, or what sort of ads are working and what are you going to first?
Okay, so those recommendations were for newsfeed ads, and newsfeed ads are the best right now. But what I would tell people is that Facebook, I'm going to get a little geeky right now on some of the verbiage that I'm going to use, but
do it.
Facebook actually doesn't have a lot of inventory. And inventory means like, how many possible times they can show advertisements in a day. Because of their newsfeed is a lot of other stuff, already. I mean, and they even have an algorithm to try and filter out all of the friend and fan page and articles and all the stuff that's already in the newsfeed. And then they're trying to insert ads in between all that normal stuff. There just really isn't a lot of inventory available, especially today where Facebook is at this, this peak. Everybody's doing Facebook ads. So it's really hard for them to have a lot of inventory. So, but it's really good property as well. So it's great for starting out. But if you really want to scale your campaign and have, hit big numbers, you're probably going to need to move over to the right-hand sidebar. The right-hand sidebar has a lot more inventory because it's always showing.
Mm.
It's not rotating. There's nothing else in there to distract. It's just ads. And on the right-hand sidebar, you can be a little bit more adsy. You can be a little bit more salesy because that's what's expected in that area. It's expected to be an advertisement over there on the right-hand side. So an ad over on the right-hand side might be, and, you know, I use this a lot for the weight loss market. I might say, are you a power lifter? Question mark. And then there's a picture of a muscle guy, or a cartoon picture of a muscle guy, because that's high contrast, bold colors. And then the description would say, learn how average Joes are adding 15 to 20 pounds of muscle in 90 days. Click here. You know, so that's pretty adsy, pretty sales copy-ish. And that would be for a right-hand sidebar ad. So both of them work. Newsfeed works better. But right-hand sidebar, there's more quantity available.
Nice. Yeah. Totally.
Okay, so you got your newsfeed ad. The next thing you want to do, you want to set up your conversion tracking.
Yep.
And that's really important. It's really not something I can explain on a podcast. There's plenty of videos, plenty of blog posts about your conversion tracking. Get that set up if you need to. You could probably hire somebody on Fiverr or Freelancer. It's a really, really simple thing to do, but you need the conversion tracking set up. Yep. Otherwise, you won't know which of your ads are profitable.
Yeah, it's crucial. I totally agree. For the listeners, if you're wondering what on earth that means, it's like a little snippet of code that Facebook gives you that you put on the thank you for your purchase type page, so that if people, they, you know, click on the ad and they arrive on the sales page and then they make it to the thanks, then obviously they've bought. So Facebook will kind of, in the ads, it'll show you that someone's converted. So that's your tracking. And I totally agree, it's crucial. Good point. What's next?
Okay, so then what's next is who are you going to target?
Yep.
So you set up conversion codes and then you make your ads. Really, it's kind of conversion codes first. And then you make your ads. And when you're making your ads, you're going to need to target somebody. And the structure that I like to use is I have one campaign for a product per country. So they might be in different countries. So we'll have product A, United States. And then you have ad sets inside there. And your ad sets are your different avatars. So I might be targeting people, you know, product A. I'm just going to use an example of selling a how to buy real estate course. And I'm marketing to United States people. In the first ad set, I'm going to target celebrities. People who like Donald Trump, Robert Kiyosaki, Barbara Corcoran. You know, these are real estate moguls, and and then I'll create another ad set of people who like various real estate books, and then I'll create another topic of people who are realtors or who are real estate investors, and I target them each of these categories separately, because what most people do is they just go into the targets and then they target all the possible targets that they could think of, and then you don't know which of those are converting. Facebook doesn't tell you which specific target, you know, and by target, it's in the precise interest or in the broad categories, whatever they're calling it today. They keep changing it.
Yep.
You go in there and you put in, you have you put the age, you put the gender. You have your basic stuff in there, and then you have the interest targeting. And so I like to break it up into five categories. These five categories don't work for every single person. You may need to adapt them a little bit, and I'll give you an example, but it's a really good framework for most people to get started with. So we already talked about celebrities, and then you have books that they read, software that they use, media that they subscribe to, and by media, I mean websites, fan pages, blogs, magazines, and then I have TV shows that they watch, which is, I know, a lot like media, but TV shows is usually a lot broader, so I like to separate it.
Yeah. So just for an example, would you go, like, you'd reference something in your ad that is referencing, you know, a TV show that's hot at the moment, or you know, or a software that you know a lot of people are using. So you'll reference that within the ad, so it gets their attention. Is that right? Or you're talking about purely within the interests, so in the back end, in the targeting section.
Yeah, I'm not calling out to it. Which that is a whole other level that you can get into to yep. really increase your results. But I'm talking about really just at the psychographic level. So
awesome.
We are creating a profile of a, you know, a 25 to 45 year old male who is married, and he, you know, uses any one of these softwares. So it might be Infusionsoft, HubSpot, AWeber. You know, for the stock market, it's TD Ameritrade, Scottrade, E-Trade. I don't know all of them, but
yeah.
So that little format, and then, you know, it changes a little bit. Like in the, oh man, what was the example I used the other day? But there was an example where there was no software. The market doesn't use software. So you wouldn't create an ad set about software, but this market, I'm at a loss for words right now. Then use something else. You just have to adapt it.
Yeah.
But it's a good little framework that helps you target a bunch of different categories of people. And when you do that, you'll find out, oh, this category worked better than this one. And by yes. the way, I usually find that it's the celebrities in the software. And I think it's because the celebrities, people are aspiring to be like that. You know, so these are people who have a lot of ambition, they aspire to be greater. And then the software people, they're buyers.
Yeah.
You know, if they like Infusionsoft or they like AWeber, chances are they've bought that thing. So we know that they're buyers. The yeah. other categories work. I just happen to notice over time, over a bunch of markets, that the celebrities in software are most often the winners.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. So let me just wrap this up a little bit real quickly here.
Yep.
So we talked about creating your avatar, creating your ad, creating your conversion pixel, and now we've talked about how to actually target those people in Facebook. You put all this together, and that is your campaign. And your campaign should have a very, very structured way of creating it. You have a campaign. You have five ad sets. In each of those ad sets, there's three ads. So you're split testing three different ads. And then the reason why you have this structure is because when you first spend money, that first money you spend rarely is profitable. It happens sometimes, but if everybody who created an advertising campaign made money the first time, we'd all be doing it and we'd all be millionaires and you know, it wouldn't be hard. The reality is most people spend $500 on some ads, they don't get an ROI, and then they move on to the next one. When what they should have done is, you know, if you do it my way with the structure, you will notice that of the five ad sets, only two of them got you sales.
Yep.
So the other three was wasted money. You know, so if we were saying we spent $500, 200 of it was spent profitably, 300 of it was wasted ad spend. And so we removed the 300 and now we spend another 500 on just the ones that were working. And now we're making money.
Nice.
And that's the biggest thing that everybody misses is you have to spend that first bit of money to learn what works and what doesn't work. And when you do that, then you go back and spend the money on just the profitable sources. And that's when you start getting into ROI.
Very cool. I like it. This is excellent. And a really great insight to everyone too, because I think a lot of people, as you've mentioned, it's that initial ad doesn't produce a positive return and they give up. And it's kind of
yeah.
it. So this is really cool. And I love the system that you've got. This is a really great system to break it all down, you know, like researching first, get specific about the ads, your templates for the ads. So we got the if then, we've also got the case study version. And then basically, yeah, setting up the conversion tracking, building your ad. And who we break it into the ad set, sorry, and then into the three ads per set, so then we can track test those as well and work out which ads within the ad set is working. Hopefully, I haven't lost anyone there, but it's
So ideally, you know, we like to start with two. We're driving to two different pages. That way, we can test.
That was going to be my next question on your pages too. Do you have preferred pages? Just real quick, like the. Where you send them to. So you're talking about the sales page now, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it could be a sales page, it could be a lead gen page, article, you know, whatever it is, it is the page you're sending them to.
Yep.
I like to have two of them. Yep. And then we have the five different ad sets, and in each ad set, we have three different ads. The ads are the same in all five ad sets, but there's three of them. So when I say that, I don't mean that there's 15 different ads. I mean that there's three ads five times.
Yep, gotcha. Exact same ads used in each different. Yeah, so exact same ads will appeal to the real estate people who are interested in books. Sorry, as the same three ads will appear to the people in the software and so on.
Yeah, and it's important to keep that same messaging because you don't want to have too many variables. But so two landing pages, five ad sets. Three ads in each ad set. And when you use that formula and you spend the money, you will then know which one of the pages got you better results, which one of the ad sets got you better results, and which one of the ads got you better results. Now, if you just got rid of everything else and you kept only the top performers of those three things, now your money is going to be spent on the 10% of your campaign. I'm horrible at math, so if there's a mathematician out there who's like, actually, that's 26%. Algebra for 4 years. I'm sorry. But you know what I mean. It's that top percentage of the campaign that was actually working, and now that's when you start getting ROI. It's a constant game of finding where the wasted ad spend is and removing that, and that's how you drive your cost down, which increases your profit margin, which is how you get to ROI.
Very cool. Awesome. That is awesome system. So thank you. This is really good. This is really good stuff. Thank you for sharing.
It's all scientific, man. Like, there's no magic behind it.
Yeah,
there's
it's no all mathematics.
Voodoo. Like,
yeah. It's right. There's no voodoo. Damn it. We're hoping for the voodoo magic pill. But
unless you hire me, then of course, yes, you cannot do this yourself. You must hire me. There's a magical thing that I do that nobody else could possibly ever do.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to share exactly how people can hire you and how they can get hold of you and where to find you. What else before we kind of move on there? What is there something else? Is there anything else that comes next, or is this, you know, that's the structure? Because this looks rock solid to me.
Well, you know, that's pretty much the beginner's campaign. That is how you find what's working. And then what you will find after you go through that and you found, okay, this is the page, this is the ad set, this is the ad that's working best. Well, what you're going to run into is something called ad fatigue. And ad fatigue is just, if you've ever, you know, been watching a TV show and the same commercial comes on every break, by the end of that TV show, you want to throw something at the TV because you're so sick and tired of seeing that same commercial at every break. That is ad fatigue. So at some point, people are going to grow tired of seeing your ad, not because they hate you or anything like that, but they've seen it before and they don't want to keep seeing it, and it's frustrating to them. So your results will start to slowly drop down. You'll notice it. It's not like it will be mysterious. It's just you'll notice that there's a gradual fading of your results, and all you need to do at that point is create a new ad, sometimes just a new picture.
Yeah.
Just, you know, spruce things up a bit, a new picture, a little bit different ad copy. And then so in the long run, we normally have 3 to 5 ads that are rotating. You know, so we will show one ad for 3 days and then we'll pause that one. We'll show a different ad. And so this is after we've already found everything that works. And to combat ad fatigue in the long run, we rotate a few different ads. That way we keep things fresh, ongoing.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah, got yeah, very cool. Yeah, otherwise, clearly they would just become numb to the ads, as you said. They either get frustrated or they just become blind to it. Very cool.
Yeah, and the smaller the audience is, the faster your ads will fatigue. So some people, you know, their complaint about Facebook is the ads fatigue daily. That's because sometimes they're only targeting 9,000 people, and you know, at a $1 CPM, you're able to target 9,000 people very quickly and very often. So the smaller your audience size is, the faster your ads will fatigue. The bigger your audience size is, the longer, you know, the more people you'll have to show it to. So you just have to keep in mind that there is this process of ad fatigue and keep new ads going.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Do you find is if you were thinking for a, like the I know this is a kind of a tough question to answer because it's kind of pretty broad but in terms of marketing through Facebook, are you seeing better results that for people driving traffic to an opt-in to get them into a funnel and then to kind of convert to a sale, you know, down the track maybe with email marketing, or are you seeing you know, good results just driving straight to a sales page to kind of generate a sale? And I know it's going to be different in all different industries, but I'd love your just a little bit of your insight into
it's
that.
It's actually something I'm able to answer with you know, relative certainty.
Cool.
I was looking for the right words there. So with the B2B, or like when I work for Rich Sheffrin, he sells a $3,000 coaching program. And that's not really something you can just drive a perfect stranger to a sales page and make that sale right away on day one.
Yeah.
You know, people need to think about a purchase like that. They need to build a relationship with that person and then they buy. So with business to business or high ticket items, you need to do lead gen first. And so you should drive to a squeeze page, or even, I don't like to call it a squeeze page, but like a legitimate lead gen page where you're asking for name, email, address, phone number, and you're giving a substantial thing away in exchange for that information. And when you get that kind of a lead, there's so much more marketing you can do other than just email marketing.
Yeah.
So B2B and high ticket purchases, lead gen first. Now, when I'm marketing for, you know, supplement companies or, you know, financial newsletters like Stansberry Research, you know, those guys go straight to a sales page, straight to a video sales page. You know, so when it's a product that somebody's going to buy for $20 to $100 or something like that, then you should go straight to the sale. That's an impulse buy. You don't really need a relationship with someone to, you know, get a $100 sale.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's kind of like a product where they know they want it already, isn't it? It's like I already know I want it. If I know that I'm in the market for the vitamins and I see it there and it's $20, you could almost, well, you're probably going to lose me if you put me through some long, complicated funnel.
Right.
Yeah.
And there are people out there who would contest me and say, you should always use a squeeze page. And I was one of those people until I started getting these really high-level clients, and they've shown me that actually I was wrong. And, you know, when I look at all of my clients, I actually had a discussion with some people on Facebook about this recently. It really kind of dawned on me that all of my most successful clients, and successful I mean in how much they earn on their side, they drive straight to a sales letter. And then my least successful clients, the people who are still in startup or still struggling to get to the higher levels, those people are driving to a squeeze page first and then to a sales letter. I'm not saying that it's a law or it's something everybody has to do. I'm a big fan of driving to a squeeze page or lead gen, but I am saying that I see very clear data that driving to a VSL or to a sales page with no lead gen in between for products under $100 is usually a really big winning formula.
Yeah, I love it. Nice. So we've got the system down. What is there anything else you'd like to add on to this before we wrap up? Anything you think, or a final word? What would you
Do the research, please. Please do the research. There's so much information out there, worksheets, templates, blog posts about creating a customer avatar. Yeah. HubSpot has a one-hour webinar that's available all the time about creating really good customer avatars. I know I've told you so many cool little things, and everybody wants to use the ad templates and, you know, jump straight to the fun parts. But, oh, man, if you – it's like missing the – you know, it's like missing the key ingredient in baking a loaf of bread. If you skip the research, you're really just setting yourself up for failure in the long term.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Very cool and very wise words. So where can people find out more about you, Justin? Where can our listeners go to find out information about yourself?
Well, the easiest way is to go to Google and type in Justin Brooke. That's B-R-O-O-K-E. You'll find all my stuff there. I've done quite a good job. All the other Justin Brooks in the world probably hate me because I take up like the first two or three pages with my stuff. But if you want to find that, there's a bunch of other interviews as well, lots of different topics.
Awesome.
So you can type in Justin Brooke interview and you can find them. But really, my website is iamscalable.com. You'll find my services. You'll find my blog there, my blog. People really love my articles. I really put a lot of work into my articles. I try to put a lot out there. And since I make money off of services, I'm able to give a lot more away than some of the info guys.
Very cool. I can imagine there's some great learnings on there because this has been great. Really insightful today for our listeners. I'm sure a lot of people get, a huge amount of value out of this interview. So it'd be wise to head on over to iamscalable.com and, there'll be plenty of valuable info there too. This has been great. Thank you so much, Justin.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
Basic bananas.